You said you were ready.
I'm ready. Hello.
Hello, and welcome back. I could fire you. I could fire you at any moment. Don't you take my lines.
I'll take your lines. I'm sorry.
Hello, and welcome back to Real Horror Show. I'm your host, Samantha, and I'm joined, as always, by Fuck This Rain.
Same. It's raining here, too. The fuck?
It's been raining for like the past 3 days. Like, it rained the entire weekend of the wedding, so everything outdoors related was canceled, which the bride was super chill about because she was like, it just means we save $500.
Nice. There you go. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. But two of my oldest friends got married this weekend, and it was wonderful and so much fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just started raining here today. The weekend was pretty okay. It was nice. It was mild.
It's just been a torrential downpour for 3 days.
Damn, that's nuts.
I see no light at the end of this tunnel.
I know, like the rain is here and it's here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
But you know what their wedding could have needed? Could have used.
Like a three-piece cellist group to play songs.
That's exactly what it needed. Josh Kaja, I'm sorry I'm using you to transition the podcast.
But that's exactly what the movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what the movie's about today. Let me open up a document. The Perfection is a 2019 American psychological thriller horror film directed by Richard Shepard. From a screenplay by Shepard, Nicole Snyder, and Eric C. Charmello. It stars Allison Williams, Logan Browning, and Steven Weber. It had its world premiere at Fantastic Fest in September 20th, 2018. It was released on May 24th, 2019 on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
This movie gives me feelings.
Yes, I feel certain things as well.
You didn't like it.
No, I did. I didn't like hate it.
That's how I feel. Like
it was a meh for me, like a straight up in the middle of the road.
I think that's where I'm going to fall rating this movie too. Like it had a lot of parts I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
And then parts I just meh about.
Yeah, I think so as well. Absolutely. I figured that you'd feel that way too.
Yeah. And I think that's a fair assessment. With this movie, just like with Cam, it feels like people are either absolutely diehard loving it or hating it.
Yeah.
And we are getting a late start, but we mentioned in our last full episode, 14 Cameras, that we're doing these movies kind of for pride because there are two lesbian characters in it.
I don't know. That is up for interpretation. I guess that's one of the points we can discuss.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's a fair point to discuss. How did you
have a lot to go over?
How did you feel about the acting overall?
Overall, it was fine.
I liked it.
I think that the girl that played Lizzie did a fantastic job, especially for the segment when she was very ill and she didn't know what was happening.
Oh, yeah. I think the best acting came from the two leading ladies.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because the other one, she mentioned that she had some problems and she did act, like kind of strange at times, but like okay at others. But I think that like the other girl may have trumped. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I mean, it's not a competition. We can say they're both good.
They're both good, but it is a competition. And Lizzie, no, I'm just kidding. Not really. I'm trying. I don't know. I'm looking at the girl, and she's the other actress from Get Out.
I still have. Oh yeah. No, I thought you were talking about Logan for a second. Allison Williams is she played the girlfriend in Get Out.
Yeah, yes, she did. I'm trying to remember like if she did well in that, like acting wise. I think she's kind of a new face.
She is a new face. She starred in Lena Dunham. I can't remember her name. That's a good thing. She starred
Lena Dunham.
Yes, she starred in Girls.
Oh.
And right after Girls, the next big thing she did was the NBC production of Peter Pan.
Oh,
which that was a thing. What?
Was she Wendy or something?
No, she was Peter Pan.
Oh.
Peter Pan is played by a girl on Broadway.
Oh, well, I don't fucking watch Broadway shows. What am I?
You went to theater school.
That doesn't fucking mean I sit around and watch musicals all day. That means I, like, am interested in, like, stage plays, not singing songs.
You gotta love both. You stupid hoe.
No, I don't like that many musicals. I don't like songs. I don't like stories forced into songs. But that's only how I feel. I'm not a huge musical person. I like a couple, but that's it.
Anyway. I thought they were both good. The Steven Weber, what has he done? What does Steven Weber do? Because
he's that guy that's like been in like things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Watching this, it felt like they wanted, I forgot his name. Matt.
Who?
You know who I'm thinking of? The guy you really like from Jurassic Park in The Fly. Why did I just space on his name?
Same. I did too. I feel like a fool. Hang on, let me get on my phone.
Well, he felt like a Kroger brand version of him.
Great value.
Yeah.
Great value. No, not the new one. The old one. Oh, this is fucked up.
Everybody's screaming at us right now.
Fucking Christ. Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. Thank you.
I almost said Samuel, but I knew that was wrong.
It felt like they wanted him for his role, but they had to go with someone else because he said no.
You know who would have been, like, cool? Because I feel like this guy could have been, like, him as well. The guy from Secretary.
Yeah.
The boss guy.
Yeah.
Because he has that kind of look, too, like an older dude.
Yeah. Like, especially with the character's glasses, it really felt like they wanted Jeff Goldblum for the role.
I know. Same glasses. Because that means, if you wear glasses like that, that means you play the violin.
See, Steven Weber. He was in the TV miniseries of The Shining.
Oh.
That's what I recognize him from.
You're fucking right. Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
Because I'm looking at his movie list on Google, and that's the only thing I immediately recognize.
He's really
sorry, Steven Weber.
Yeah, sorry, but I'm glad that you made it this far.
I guess he was also in All Dogs Go to Heaven, the series. The series, good. Not even the movie.
Not even the movie. He was in Dracula Dead and Loving It. Whatever that means.
Oh, that's a parody of Bram Stoker's.
I know, but like, what is he supposed to do? He was a Dracula, so that means nothing to me.
That's true.
He was in like stupid shit that I've never watched.
I don't believe The Shining miniseries is stupid. It was written by Stephen King himself.
Oh, yeah, that is, apart from that, everything else is, like, stupid and means nothing, but that.
Nothing is scarier, mind you.
Nothing is scarier than a made-for-TV miniseries, The Shining.
Nothing was scarier than those fucking hedge monsters.
No, they really were. Nothing is scarier than your father giving you a giant wasp's nest and wasps are, like, alive in it because of ghosts. That's fucking terrifying.
I know.
Hey.
I know we all love Stephen King, but can we all just agree that for a little while there, the man had a huge fucking ego when it came to his movie adaptations?
Yeah, because he was like, I'm going to be in it. I'm going to direct it. I'm going to write it. I mean, it's good that he wrote it, but
I think his old age has mellowed him out because he's approving adaptations that I wouldn't approve of. Like, I think he liked the Pet Sematary remake, and I'm like, it had the weakest third act of a horror movie I've seen in 10 years.
Really? I have yet to see that, but I feel like I'll probably feel the same way. Yeah. But I still said that I would probably read the book first, which I will.
I saw it, and right afterwards, I texted you, wait until streaming.
Yeah, you did. Also, didn't you say that I should also watch the original? I think that's just like floating around on
Hulu. You should also watch the original. I think it's on Amazon Prime. It might be on Hulu.
That's what I meant. Amazon Prime has literally every Stephen King like movie.
Yeah.
That's like old, you know what I mean? It's just like
there. I don't really care for the original. It's very campy, but it's just a well-loved classic.
Yeah, if it's available to me, I will try to read it, then watch it, then see that, so I could just have like the whole experience.
And if you watch the original before you watch the remake, you'll notice all the little homages they paid to the original, which really got annoying by the end of the movie.
Really?
It's like, oh, you remember this shot from the original? Well, we're going to slightly change it a bit.
But we're going to make the shot really long so you realize that it's a
whole lot. It annoyed me. Like, it pisses me off because I wanted to love it so bad, but it was so bad.
Yeah, dude.
Anyway.
All right. Well, listen, it's on my list.
All right. Anyway. So let's talk about the story. Let's talk about the story.
Yes.
For the perfection.
That. Okay, cool. Fabulous. Good story.
Okay.
Pretty okay.
It was a solid story. I've been going back and forth about it being set in Shanghai, and I think I haven't found anything to confirm my suspicions, but I think what the director was going for was kind of a homage to Asian horror. I don't know how much Asian horror you've watched, but a lot of it is very stylized, like this was, and kind of just batshit insane, like this was.
Yeah.
So the movie is broken up into four chapters. And I think the part of this movie I absolutely love are the first two chapters.
Me too. Where
it's kind of like a sexier, more stylized Black Swan.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought I was going to get when I saw the trailer for this on Twitter. I was like, oh, it's like Black Swan, but sexier. And it's got cellos, which are sexier than ballet.
Yes. That maybe they're both sexy.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I don't know.
But
have you seen a ballerina's feet?
Huh?
Have you seen a ballerina's feet?
Yes.
That shit ain't sexy.
Well, yeah, that's why they wear shoes. So you can't see your feet, Sam. They don't fucking dance barefoot.
Okay.
They have to stand on the fucking wood blocks, and it's going to make it look like that and look gross. So yeah, that's the reality behind the beauty of ballet.
So this movie starts with Allison Williams' mom dying, and she immediately packs up her bags and goes to, I say Shanghai. It's Shanghai, right?
Shanghai, yeah.
Okay, it's Shanghai, and she goes back to her old music school where she meets the next wonderful cello prodigy,
Elizabeth.
Yeah. And they play together, and then they play together.
Oh.
And after their night of
praying. she just kind of travels with her because she begins her holiday.
Yeah.
That day.
But then Lizzie gets sick.
Uh-oh.
And it culminates in her chopping off her hand. But then it's revealed that Allison Williams poisoned her or gave her her mom's medicine, which can cause hallucinations.
That's some shitty medicine. It causes like hallucinations, vomiting, nausea, like shitting yourself, itching, like everything.
Well, I'm sure like a normal dosage doesn't put it to that extreme, but when you take
five.
Yeah, she took like five, and then you have Allison Williams putting the hallucinations in her head.
I know that was actually like clever with the bugs when she said like, oh, like brushed off her jacket and was like, oh, it's a bug.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, the first two chapters of this movie are like my favorite horror movie right now.
Same, because like I was like, holy shit, does she have the sickness that Asian guy had at the cello concert? Is there like a contagion thing? And like she was just really sick, and I was like, oh my god, I don't know what I would do in that situation. Like, what would you do if you felt like that sick and you had nowhere to go? It's fucking insane.
Embrace death.
I know. I guess so. In the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that I agree. That was like those were the two best parts.
Yeah,
because it was like I was like I was like, I don't know what's going to happen here. Like, is she like, how are they going to get out of this one? But then the other half.
Yeah.
It's like, so kind of like half.
Yeah. The last two chapters are rape revenge, or it's just,
yeah.
It turns into a rape revenge story, which is fine, Those are fine. They're classic in the horror genre. So Lizzie's chopped off her hand, and she goes back to her teacher, and he's like, oh, don't worry, it's not that big of a deal. And it's not, because one of my little problems with this movie is that they make it act like she can never play cello again, which is not true. She could get a prosthetic and hook the thing in and just practice and relearn that way, or just get a prosthetic that has the stick attached to it already.
Stick attached, and then like switch it up and like learn on the other side. I don't know which hand. I guess it was her right hand.
Yeah, it was the one that she controls.
The hand that uses the stick. Yeah,
because she still does the fingering at the.
Yeah, she does.
at the end when they're playing the cello together.
That was cool. That was fucking cool.
Yeah, that was a good scene. That was a good.
That was neato.
That was a very beautifully shot scene.
It was. But yeah, so, you know, she could have learned cello again, but I figured that would happen was because she was worthless, quote unquote, to them because she couldn't play anymore. They cast her out, and I kind of saw that coming, and I was like, okay, but now what's going to happen? And I thought that the next thing that would happen was they would replace her with like the other girl, and it would be like a human revenge story instead of a rape revenge story, you know? Yeah.
And then, somehow Lizzie gets all the way back to Minneapolis and tries to kill Allison Williams. And then she gets back to Shanghai somehow.
I think they're just back to Boston, aren't they?
No, I thought they went back to, maybe you're right. Does he just have those rape rooms built in every single one of his facilities?
I think there was only one facility, and it was in Boston.
No, right? It was in Shanghai, wasn't it?
Maybe. Well, whenever they went to the house, it said Boston. 3 months later, Sam, maybe you should look up from the computer from time to time, and you would know.
Sorry, but I guess I wasn't paying attention.
I know you're on your laptop when you watch the movie.
Listen, I'm just busy. Okay. I'm going to finish my emergency travel post for Postcard Press. I just... Oh, shit. Work has been busy, and then I had no internet this week, and Jacqueline, the internet was not working.
I've seen your checkpoints. Every time I get an email that you've like edited your document, I like know like where you're at. So I'm like, okay, she's getting close to being done.
Yeah, there's just like two sections I need to add, which takes writing, and I'm on like civil unrest, which leads to like a brief discussion of terrorism, and I'm kind of figuring out how to eloquently talk about that without hurting people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think July would be a great month to take a vacation. You know what I mean?
I agree. I need a real vacation.
A real vacation. Okay. But anyway, yeah, the headquarters is just in Boston, and I think they travel elsewhere to have like small concerts.
Okay. So yeah, I think he was just auditioning girls in Shanghai.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That makes more sense. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
And so it's revealed that basically the top students at his school, he rapes whenever they're rehearsing with him and they fuck up and aren't perfect.
Yeah, but like whenever that like first like the first very long scene of like him discussing what happens when you mess up, which took 10 fucking minutes to discuss. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know like what actually was going to happen until like he was like completely naked. And then I was like, but is there a rape or is it going to be more fucked up than that? And it has nothing to do with that. You know what I mean? Because there could be something more messed up than that, I think, but it was simply that. But does that only happen when they fuck up when they're in that room? Or does it happen every time when they're practicing? He said that that doesn't happen until they get their tattoo. I don't know. How many times? They made it seem like it was many times, many, many times. But from what I understand, maybe it was just once.
Maybe.
I don't know. That was a question that I had that probably was maybe like not – was kind of like overlooked.
Yeah. I don't know how many times. I think it was every time they had a private practice with him, because sometimes, you know, you have private lessons with your teacher when you get really good.
Yeah.
So I think it was whenever it was in that room. So when they returned to the conservatory or his house, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, like both. He like lives there.
And so Allison Williams wakes up, tries to kick his ass, but then she's knocked out and chained up and forced to perform perfectly, otherwise he'll rape an 8-year-old child. LOL, JK, but then he won't do that.
Yeah, but then that comes into the other part when he says, I wouldn't rape her because you know that I only do that after you get so good that you get your tattoo, which means you can play in the room that she plays in. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
And then it's revealed that Lizzie is still on Allison Williams' side.
Yes, yes.
And they get their revenge.
But, yeah, and, like, I guess that at that point, whenever they're – we'll just have to kind of, like, discuss, like, this, like, chapter by chapter if you want to.
That's what I've been trying to do, but it's kind of hard because it always, like, the second chapter or – Chapter 2 and then Chapter 4 are just rewound to show the plot.
Yeah. That was like, I don't know, they could have done without the rewinding part.
It's a little gimmicky.
Yeah, I think that is the exactly right word for it. But I think let's talk about their like lesbian relationship for a minute because that's kind of questionable.
Okay. I think
because I know this falls under LGBT movies, yeah. Though. What do you think?
I think Lizzie is definitely a lesbian.
Yes.
Because she came on to Allison Williams. I should look up Allison Williams' character name.
Her name was... it was, Allison, you know... Yeah, it's Allison Williams.
I'm looking it up.
Charlotte?
Fuck. Yes, Charlotte. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. There we go.
She comes on to Charlotte, like, immediately.
Immediately.
So Charlotte's the only one that, you know, questionable whether she's lesbian or just into Lizzie. And I mean, like, seriously, who wouldn't be into Lizzie? She's fucking gorgeous.
But she is, but allegedly, she was only going along with it to, like, drug her. Mm-hmm. So is she, like, I don't know. And so that makes it questionable if she was even with somebody or not before, because she said that she wasn't.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff that she says can be up to interpretation.
It does bring into question her true motives, but since they do kiss when they kill the two guys about to gang rape,
they're in love,
Charlotte, that
by the end,
not in love, but like at least into each other.
Yeah,
like I hope that's it, and that the whole lesbian aspect of this wasn't just to make it sexy, because I don't know, their scenes together were pretty hot, but I think there was like genuine chemistry between the two actresses.
Yeah, I think so too. But, like, I didn't want it to be, like, a lesbian thing just so she can, like, trick her and poison her. Because, like, how did she know that she was going to come on to her that quickly? And how else would she have gotten her to trust her to go with her on vacation? You know, there's, like, a whole thing, and it was kind of a little too fast for something like that.
Yeah, like
I know they looked up to each other, but like, I don't know.
Lizzie's like a famous cellist, so maybe she's very open about being a lesbian or bisexual.
Right, but how, I don't know, would she be into her that quickly? What if she didn't like her that much? I don't know.
It's a good question. I think Charlotte probably had intentions all along of at least seducing her herself, but then Lizzie came onto her first.
So I guess that made it like kind of like both like happen at the same time, which made it a little easier.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But I don't know. I feel like there are easier ways to convince her to no longer play the cello for what's his face than the drug her and get her to chop off her own hand in the middle of nowhere.
I like also agree with that statement. I was like, this is pretty, this is a lot.
It's a little much.
It's a little much. But if it really took that much, she said it really took that much for her to realize that it was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So is Charlotte the only girl that thought it was a bad thing? Like, I don't know. At least, how many girls are there?
Yeah, they don't talk about how many girls have actually gotten the tattoo. Based on the movie, it was only Lizzie and Charlotte.
Right. And I wish that we had more time to look into Charlotte's past, especially when she was taking care of her sick mom.
Mm-hmm.
And the history of, like, the place.
Mm-hmm.
And Anton, because if he was raping every single chick, then like someone would have said something. You know what I mean? I don't know. They're all girls. It's like, isn't that like, they're all girls with guy teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just like, and also when you like are, I wanted to see more of like Charlotte when she was in like a mental hospital getting shock treatment. Like, did we jump back to like the 1800s? I don't know. Why did that happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not a thing anymore. It's 2019.
Is it? Let me look into that.
What? they don't do that anymore, dude. It's inhumane. I think they stopped that shit in like the 60s or 70s.
I'm Googling.
Should do it.
And it's most often, it's electroconclusive convulsive therapy, formerly known as electroshock therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It is used to treat severe depression and depression with psychosis that has not responded to medications. In some cases of treatment-resistant bipolar disorder, ECT may be considered as a treatment option. So it's still around, but not as common now that medication is better.
I just think that was also one of those details that was a little much.
Yeah. Okay. So skipping ahead to the ending on that note, Why was it some shocking reveal when Charlotte pulled off a wig? Like, why was that even a thing?
It was almost like she was wearing like a mask of her own face and then she pulled it off and it was her own face still. It was like that's literally exactly-
Also, wouldn't they notice it was a wig when they, did her hair all nice and put her in that fancy dress for the final dramatic performance?
Who did her hair? And also, wouldn't her wig have, like, fallen off when she was, like, sleeping with Lizzie? Or did she, like, secretly show her?
I don't know. I don't get why it was some big dramatic twist reveal.
Because it just, like, I feel like they put it in there and they're like, this is going to be wild when she takes a wig off and, like, nobody cared. And they're just like, why did she do that? It's like she was wearing eye contacts that were, like, brown and she took them off, like, guess what, motherfucker? My eyes aren't brown.
I wanted the villain of the story, like,
what does that mean? Like, she just got out?
Okay.
They shaved your head. What about it? Did Anton shave your head? Like, what the fuck? It didn't make fucking sense. It didn't matter. It just didn't have to be there at all. It's fucking bullshit. Like, I know they shaved your head that one time, but that's all good.
It made
anyway.
No sense.
What the fuck? Yeah.
That's what took me out of this movie.
Well, listen. Yeah. Since we're at that same part when she takes the wig off. She also like, it seems like the music changes to like, like a hardcore rap song, and I'm like, that was totally out of place. Like, I know they're about to like get some revenge, but like make it like a scary cello song or some shit, not like some music that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cool, but like, I don't know, man, it just like didn't make me feel as empowered as it was meant to make me feel.
Yeah, the rap song felt out of place. Otherwise, the soundtrack to this movie is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, cellos are sexy.
They are, and they're very cool and scary. Like, I think the cello duet they play together was, like, really eerie.
I think that's one of the best.
And it was
one of the best shots in modern horror for me. I mean, we can debate whether or not this falls under horror.
Oh, you mean at the very end? Oh, yeah. I think that was.
I thought it was.
Cool. Once he stabbed her arm, I knew it. I was like, she better lose the arm. So they both are like missing the opposite hand.
It was beautiful. And that's why I think, you know, their feelings for each other are genuine and that it's not, it's not a main focus.
They wouldn't have been able to do that if they weren't connected.
Yeah. And then you cut to him with all his arms missing, all his appendages.
I mean, like, that was also, like, I was like, whoa, all right. Because I honestly thought that they killed him with the stick that she was hitting him with. And I was like, great, he's dead. And then, like, but no. And I'm just like, okay, does that mean you're going to live there and never leave? Because, like, if you leave there, like, what about the cops? Like, aren't people going to wonder? What about the students that go there every day? I don't know. What about the girl that went to bed? Did you ship her back off to, you know, Shanghai to be with her parents? Yeah. I don't know. No questions are fucking answered. I just have to assume that, like, they take care of everything, which I doubt they did that.
But the final shot was so pretty, Jacqueline. I mean, Stormy.
I agree. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, because once I saw that, after I saw his like stupid little body, I was like, that's fucking cool, because they're both playing the same cello with two bodies and it was badass.
And his like,
that was the only saving grace, dude, at the end.
His dismembered body is another thing that made me think that this was supposed to play homage to pay homage to a Asian horror cinema, because you've never seen Audition, have you?
No, I've heard good things.
Have you seen the music video for Honey, This Mirror Isn't Big Enough for the Two of Us by My Chemical Romance?
Oh, shit. No, I have not.
Okay, well, that music video is basically a super abridged version of Audition.
Huh, cool. I will watch it then, just so I can like get the SparkNotes version.
Like the, I haven't seen Audition all the way through, but there's like, basically the main girl in that cuts off all his limbs and he just kind of lives in a bag in her apartment.
Wow. Well, how do they get the IV unit? Where do they get the stuff? Where do they get the feeding tube to put in his nose? Are they feeding him milk? Like, I don't know. They
just like with the boy, don't ask these questions.
How did he not fucking bleed to death? Are they surgeons?
No. Maybe. We don't know what she did.
I only know cello. Like, they don't know how to do surgery. But,
that's true.
Let's talk about, the awkward scenes of, like, when Anton talks about stuff and that, like, the things he says, like, just words come out. And I feel like I don't, like, nothing happens when he talks.
Nothing happens when he talks. It's probably why Jeff Goldblum decided not to do this movie.
He was like, yeah, well, you know what happens when you fail? You fail. And you fail because that's what happens, because we're not supposed to fail. And then I'm going to rape this girl. But I'm not. But I am. But what? You're going to be raped. I'm going to be raped. You fail. Like, I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like, please shut up.
Yeah, he's one of those people that think they're smart, but they're really not.
He did not steal the scene, and he was not scary, unfortunately. If he would have made what he was saying a little more gripping, I don't know. It was just like, maybe if he was – another actor was in his place that kind of like stole the, you know, scene every time he spoke, it would be more of like a scary thing. But when he spoke, I was like, huh, yeah, you're like not going to do shit. It
was just based on – I don't want to insult Steven Weber or anything, but just based on his filmography, he's just a very bland actor who can't steal the scene, and his scenes needed him to be kind of more of the focus.
Yeah, because he's the villain. I didn't know he was the villain this whole time until the girl woke up on his couch and she was like, I was saving her from you, duh. And I was like, why? He seems fine. He's just, you know, the cello guy. Nothing special about him.
It would have been cooler if Paloma was the villain.
Yeah, she... Who's Paloma? You know what I mean? It's, like, the same thing. And those two fucking guys, like, okay. It's just, like, that's why I feel like we could have used a little bit more time to just go into a little more creepy stuff about the school itself. Because, like, the whole time, there's, like, no notion of it being, like, creepy or weird at all. Even when they go into the really pretty room where they do the cello concert, and he's like, this is, like, the... You know, what do they call it? Like the chapel. And it was like, it used to be like a chapel. And then he kept talking about God. And I was like, you're talking about God, but like, you're not making it creepy and making it seem like you're like a religious freak. You know, it's just, there was so much there that could have been honed in on regarding him being the villain. And there just wasn't too much other than his naked body, his blurry body.
Mm-hmm.
Blurry naked Stephen Weber.
I'm listening. I'm just trying to untangle my favorite necklace.
It's okay, but Bland is like, that's pretty much what he was. Bland Steven.
Bland as fuck. They should have tried harder to get Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, you know,
he's scary. He's had horror movie like experience. He's been in a couple.
Yeah.
For sure. What else is there to talk about?
Are you caught up with The Handmaid's Tale?
No, I'm going to start that because I made a small list of like new stuff that I wanted to watch now before we started, you know, another whole series. And we had to watch Chernobyl first, and then we then watched the three episodes of Black Mirror, and the next two were Handmaid's Tale and Big Little Lies. And today we just flipped the coin and it is going to be The Handmaid's Tale that we'll watch next. But we couldn't watch any today because I watched this movie just now instead.
I'm sorry.
Usually I'm on top of shit
that I don't pay you to do.
Usually I'm on top of it, Sam. Usually I watch it like a couple days before, have the document, didn't even fucking do that. I don't know what the fuck. I'm just like really in a summer mood that I'm just like,
I know. We're going to take July off.
We're taking July off.
It's going to be good for us.
Yeah.
We'll come back refreshed with new ideas, maybe even be ready for guests.
Yeah, maybe be ready to actually write a review. Because if in July, since I'll have a lot of time to like watch whatever movie I want, then I'll build stuff up for sure. Because I, you know, especially since we're taking off that month for other project as well. So I just will have more time to like get my bearings straight and like write for myself, watch movies for myself, get caught up in like what's happening in horror culture right now. Maybe go to movies. I don't know, Sam. Maybe leave the apartment.
I need to go see the new Godzilla. Maybe I'll make David take me this weekend. Although we were just lamenting in the fact we have nothing to do this weekend because lamenting's negative, right?
Yeah, lamenting means you're sad.
We were super pumped that we have nothing to do this weekend, but we'll go see Godzilla at the cheap theater.
You're not lamenting. Yes. Well, it's not the weekend anymore, Sam. It's Monday.
Well, next weekend.
Next weekend. Oh, this coming weekend.
Yeah.
Because
we had a huge wedding this weekend and we are exhausted and we're trying to get rid of our alcohol bloat. And
Yeah. Well, why don't we discuss the new like summer horror movies that are on our horizon? Are there any that are on your list of must-sees in the theater?
I mean, It Chapter 2 comes out in September. That's not really summer.
I forgot about It Chapter 1.
Oh, ouch.
I'm sorry. Ouch. It's been a long time since I watched it, and it just hasn't been on the forefront of my mind.
Let me look up summer horror movies.
Well, okay. Well, let's talk about – I just talked about this yesterday, so I can tell you a couple. So how about The Lighthouse?
Which one?
Which is the new movie that's coming up from the director of The Witch.
Oh, I don't think I've looked
at it. Black and White with Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. You don't know, Sam?
I'm sorry. I know, and I'm the one on the Twitter more than you.
I know, that's why I'm so surprised, because I keep seeing it on like Bloody Disgusting, so I'm like, oh, Sam definitely knows what's coming up.
And I probably do, I just forgot about it, because there's,
if you see the picture, like, oh yeah, yeah, that
there's a lot coming up.
What about Midsommar?
I'm curious about Midsommar. I'm worried that the director anyway, I'm worried that he just kind of got lucky with Hereditary.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because it's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, that's so long.
Jordan feels that it was disturbing, but disturbing is such a relative term. I don't know what disturbing is for Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
What I mean?
I mean, that's something we need to, what we try to acknowledge on the podcast is that what's scary for some people isn't scary for everyone. Horror is very subjective.
Yes, absolutely. Very subjective. What else is coming out? There's that. There's something else. Oh, I think it's the director, the woman director who directed The Babadook. Mm-hmm. She has a new film coming out called The Nightingale.
I've heard things about it. I haven't looked. Oh, Child's Play comes out next week? No, it's next week.
It already come out.
I mean, yeah, it already came out in like 1980. Oh, okay. Yeah, that comes out next Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure if I'm just pissed at how screwed over the original director of Child's Play, because he's been working on the series for the last 30 years. And it's still going, and then they're like, we're going to reboot it. Fuck you. Oh, yeah, and Annabelle Comes Home, which let's just say it's the second Annabelle movie. We're not going to acknowledge the first one.
Yeah, we're just not.
I don't think they're even acknowledging the first one.
Here we go, Refinery. Have to. I haven't kept up with the Conjuring universe since the Conjuring.
Like, I think it's
one.
Cool that we have like a right. horror movie universe, but I just don't care.
Oh, I really wanna, what about Ma?
I really want to see
Blumhouse
Ma.
TV Spencer.
No.
May 31st. Oops.
Movies are just so expensive. And
it's out, guys.
I'll have to think.
It looks great.
I know, and I want to see
Octavia Spencer fucking rules.
So 47 Meters Down is getting a sequel. I might waste money on that. Midsommar, that'll be cool. It'll be interesting. I'll wait till the reviews come out. Crawl, what's this? I haven't seen anything about this. I'm watching the trailer, everybody.
Wait, are you on the same website as me, refinery29.com?
Yes.
Crawl, release date July 12. A father and daughter are trapped in a house during a Florida hurricane, but it's the alligators that they really have to watch out for. Uh-oh. It's
I am here alligator. For this.
I know you love that shit.
I love this kind of like sci-fi horror movie.
The boy too. Look, it's the movie I love. It's called Brahms, the boy too. What the fuck? Why would you say his name like that? Like, that's just a spoiler in itself.
I'm not seeing the boy too. Fuck that.
Katie Holmes?
Yeah.
Katie Holmes is...
How did they get an A-list actress in this movie? Anyway, I'm not seeing it.
I don't know.
Because what?
There's a Nightingale. August 2nd. There we go.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, produced by Guillermo del Toro.
And, like, to all the whiny bitch babies saying it's PG-13, I know I've said shit about PG-13 horror in the past, but I feel like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark should be PG-13 because that captures the spirit of the original book, which was technically a children's book.
Yeah.
So that's their target demographic with this.
Yeah, so I'm cool with that. It is passable.
Because the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, those stories weren't gory. They were more just, creepy.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, Sam.
Yeah.
That's all it was. So just Scary Stories to Tell you in the Dark.
Maybe I'll kidnap a 10-year-old to take with me. We'll see.
Yeah, you should. That's scary. That's the real horror show, is kidnapping.
Tigers are not afraid. I've never heard of this one.
What the fuck is that? I just saw that. I was like, I don't even care to read the synopsis.
And then It Chapter 2 rounds out the summer horror films. I don't know. I think the only one...
Pretty good.
Yeah, I think most of them, I might wait to see what reviews say, unlike with Pet Sematary. But even then, I feel like...
Didn't it get like...
Yeah, it did get rave reviews. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe I can't trust reviewers.
Yeah, I can't. You just have to see it for yourself. And see if you love it or not.
Anyway, let's grade Perfection. I think we graded it in the beginning. It's just meh. Just the first two chapters of this movie, fucking fantastic. Super sexy, super sleek, super ooky spooky.
Super freaky. Like, Jesus Christ, could you imagine vomiting up bugs? I really thought she was. I really
did. It was so well played out.
I was like, oh my God, almost like this poor girl is so sick. What would you do?
And then Allison Williams just pulls out a cleaver from nowhere and it's like, what the fuck's happening?
I know. What the fuck? Is this real? And I was like, maybe she's like fucked up because she's so sick, you know? But it really was a real thing. So really happened. But then it kind of just like plateaued at meh
for the last year. All right. So. I've been debating what our next horror movie in our little LGBTQ horror exploration should be. I don't know yet. I'm still thinking about it.
Oh, I thought you were going to like build up to what it was going to be.
I've been playing around with the idea of doing Assassination Nation.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Hulu, so we'll cheat for this. And the reason I want to do that is... let me see what it's actually classified as. I think it's technically classified as a thriller rather than a horror movie, but it does feature an openly trans character, and you don't get that in a lot of movies in general.
Is there a way that whenever you look for our next movie, can you like search on Netflix and like filter it by horror movies and LGBT movies and see what comes up?
There used to be back in the olden days.
Trixie Sam.
Let me see if... Because it used to be with Netflix, you went to one genre, and then it kind of had a subgenre.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can do that anymore. I don't think you can anymore.
Shit.
Well, let me just go to the LGBT
movies and see if you can actually, like, pick out like horror movies that you know for sure.
Yeah, see if they just have a horror subheader trending now. Asian movies, documentaries, romantic movies, understated movies, independent movies, international movies, international dramas, top picks for Sam. No, they don't have us. I will look into it. If I can't find anything else, I will say we do Assassination Nation because it's kind of like The Purge, only more social. Relevant social commentary-y.
Okay.
And the trans character is like, it's a plot point that she's trans and that leads to later events in the film.
I see. Okay.
So that's what I'm going to lean towards, or I might find a classic horror movie that has queer undertones.
Yeah,
because
sure.
Because those are out there.
Yeah. Just let me know this week what you decide.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll let you all decide when we upload the episode.
Yeah, we will let you decide what you think.
Yeah, maybe us. If I really can't decide, maybe I'll just do a Twitter poll.
That'd be pretty cool. Between like two movies and see.
Yeah, since we got kind of a late start on this.
Neato.
All right, you want to pull up the end notes?
Yeah, sure. All right. Well, the outro is here. So let's just say goodnight and say real horror show.
Goodnight.
Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is created by Sam Odie. Sam, what did we learn from this movie today?
cellos are sexy.
Yeah. don't take ibuprofen from somebody if it is orange. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't take ibuprofen with your alcohol.
Yes. Don't do that. Don't do that. Like what you hear, you can find Real Horror Show on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Store, Stitcher, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear? Follow us on Twitter at horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show. Like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? Comment on our website or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something or think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Submissions are open for movie reviews. I've kind of like been lacking in like making that known, but check out the submit page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it's not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. we post written reviews. We will soon. Listen, we'll just like our old ones are great. So just read them. They're so cool. It's a doozy. They're doozies. We love horror. And if you're listening, you do too. Please help us keep our project going by visiting our support page on our website where you can make a one-time donation via PayPal. We also have an Amazon wish list. If you feel like buying us something tangible will help convey your love more than a monetary donation would. And buy us a coffee. Submissions are open for our yearly anthology called The October Monologues. Check out the submission guidelines on our website and send us your creepy shit. So far we have one submission.
One submission. I might shell out some cash and get more submissions. That sounds bad. I might post a call for submissions.
Where?
On that place where you post call for submissions.
Duotrope?
What?
Duotrope?
No, it's
Submittable?
Like literary page? Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Submittable costs too much money.
Yeah, I know, right? Any other pertinent news? Well, this month is Pride Month. It's June, and so our focus is going to be movies, horror movies with queer or LGBT undertones. Any other pertinent news? Next month we may be taking the month off for a vacation so Sam and I can work on our self-care routines.
We're gonna paint our nails and do a cucumber mask.
I know, it's gonna do a face mask and bath bomb. Anyway, our outro song is called Creepy It All by Jonathan Coulton, and thank you, fuck off, and have a swell evening.
Bye.
Bye.